Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Bachelorette Wrap Up. I'm Amy, here with a special guest filling in for Haley. It's Mel Sullivan. Mel, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good, Amy. I'm so excited to talk Bachelorette and fill in for Haley's least favorite week. Hometown dates.
Hometown dates, yes. Haley has gone on record that this is her least favorite week. And then, of course, normally it would be fine that she's missing this week. But then we had a Buffalo date, which is like practically, it's like her U.S. version of her backyard. And then she doesn't get to talk about it until she comes back next week. But I'm excited to have you here. We had you, which season was it? Because you have a special claim to fame in the Bachelor universe. Do you want to remind our audience if they haven't, they weren't with us way back then?
Yes, that's true. It's been many moons. I forget which season it was. It might have been Chris.
Okay.
Chris Souls.
Doesn't seem like a lifetime ago.
It seems so long ago. My claim to fame is I won a sweepstakes, or I should say was the second runner up or the runner up to the person who declined the grand prize. And I got to go to the Bachelorette Men Tell All for Andy's season.
Amazing.
And it was wonderful. And I got to see Markell, and I jumped very high out of my chair to get a cookie and did not succeed. Oh, so that was my claim to fame. Yes. And it was a fun, very long day. I'll never experience again, I'm sure.
Well, I'm sure the window has passed that you could probably win a sweepstakes again legally, right?
I feel like legally, yeah.
Strikes twice.
Just got to keep sending that Pro Flowers love out. Everyone follow Pro Flowers.
Do you watch Women Tell All, Men Tell All differently ever since then?
A little bit, but it's still if hometown dates are Haley's least favorite dates, then Men and Women Tell All are my favorite episodes of the season, or least favorite.
Oh, really? Even after going?
I just, or at least like when I try to recap them, since I blog, that they are a mess to recap. It's usually just everyone shouting over each other and trying to be seen. It's just kind of a messy episode, and it's not my fave, and I feel like not much usually comes out.
Right. And now it's become Bachelor in Paradise audition.
So. Yeah. And also not really, because it's been, are they even done? I think they might even be done with Paradise, which is crazy.
I guess for Bachelorette, it doesn't quite work, but Bachelor does work.
Yeah.
So yes. Well, I'm glad to have you on an episode. So you're a fan of the hometown dates then?
I do still love hometown dates.
Yeah.
It's an enjoyable thing. It's a little, what I figured out at this point though, as I was watching last night, it is a little lather, rinse, repeat of things. But that said, it always brings out some potentially kooky family members or stars that we were unexpected to know about. And I guess this time we'll get eventually to probably Colton's dad being the star of the episode.
Yes, I'm excited to get into all of these. We start out with Garrett's hometown. I don't know why he never struck me as like a California. Was he originally from Reno?
Yeah, I thought he was like middle America, but I guess he did say when he was married that he lived in Tahoe. So maybe that's where we're getting it from.
Okay. Yeah. The fact that, you know, Becca's Midwestern and she talks about how he seems so much like her family, I just assumed he was somewhere Midwestern-ish at least. But yeah, he's from the hometown he went to is Manteca, California. And it had a little bit of a Chris Souls feel to this date at the beginning.
Oh my God, it was the exact same. I felt like a flashback
to Andy's season. Yes. Oh. Yes. What did you think about the tomato planting and the rose bush planting? A lot of planting.
A lot of planting. I mean, great to get back to the environment. We should all be more green. I'm working on being more green. So, you know, plant a bush here or there. But overall, I've made this joke a couple of times to like my family and stuff that I've had my apartment painted the last few weeks and I've been watching literal paint dry. And I'd say that that's been more exciting than any time Garrett is on screen for me.
Nice. Yeah. The only thing I got kind of excited about with the tomato planting was that it seemed kind of more like, I don't know, energetic than it needed, like than I would expect tomato plant to be on that machine. Like it was sort of like a survivor immunity challenge where it was like, you have to put it in quick before like this, it spins around again. So
that's true. It was kind of like a fun factory tour. It was at least, I would say, of the like activities, one of the more fun ones, but I guess it's also that it's Garrett and I'm just not a Garrett fan. He just bores me.
Just boring. So does it have anything to do with the Instagram likes story that came out, or you think you'd feel this way either way?
I think I would find Garrett boring, but I do think that the Instagram like stories 100% impacted how I would feel about Garrett. Mm-hmm. But I do also know that whoever is usually like a Becca front runner is somebody that I typically detest. So I guess that makes sense too.
And what, does Ari fall into that group as well?
Oh yeah. I couldn't even deal with the season. And I have to say, if Garrett for some reason does become the next Bachelor, I actually had the brief thought today, like, I don't know if I could actually watch that season.
You might have to retire from recapping a season.
Take a little sabbatical.
Yeah. That would be a good time to do it. I can't imagine that. I just feel like we have some other contenders. So I just feel like they would not want to invite that controversy for him.
I totally agree.
Yeah. So have you also seen a video or photos of Garrett's ex-wife?
Oh my God. I was going to send this to you and I totally forgot to. Someone posted an amazing side-by-side.
Yes. Okay. We got tweeted that as well. So
yeah, not just about what Garrett's wife looked like or ex-wife, mm-hmm. about what Becca's ex looked like.
Yes. I don't know which ex this is, but someone unearthed a photo of one of her exes. And they have the two side-by-sides of Becca with her ex and Garrett with his ex-wife. And it's like you're looking at two photos of the same couple.
It's doppelgangers.
It's really weird.
Yeah, I couldn't get over it last night. Screen capped and sent it to like everybody just with a wow, 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 wow. Yeah. I was shocked and not surprised in any capacity that she likes Garrett to see that it's a mirror of some ex of her past.
Yeah. And I thought it was really funny in this hometown date. So they started talking about, she asked him more about his ex-wife and the family dynamic. And again, it's just Garrett's side of the story, but it was talking about how he wouldn't get to see his family that much when they came to visit. She would kind of want to do her own thing or not want to hang out with them or, you know, not really like prioritize that family time. And so he was like not looking to avoid that with his next relationship. And then Becca said something like, when I meet his family, I hope they see I'm nothing like his ex. Just like perfect timing for this photo to be making the rounds, right?
If only that just kind of like wiped across the screen and flew out and everyone was like, wait, what?
Yeah. Yes. She looks so similar. It's crazy. So what did you think of Garrett's family visit?
Well, as we know, his mom is like a bear, a mother bear.
Yes.
A mama bear. As opposed to everybody else. Yeah. They were nice and overprotective. And I think that ended up being sort of the theme of the entire night of the families was everybody was basically preparing all of their sons to get heartbroken.
That's really true.
Kind of a bummer. Yeah. But it totally made sense with this family of why they would be extremely overprotective, seeing that we're finally hearing the stories on the family's perspective of what happened with Garrett's ex-wife. Because until now, we've heard the Garrett stories and I think loosely like friends who have sold stories that are friends of her friends or something. Mm-hmm. So it was good to hear their side that maybe there is some more validity to Garrett's side. But I also think we're only hearing one side of the story. And, you know, everybody has a different version.
Right. Everybody's going to support, you know, their own kid, you know, especially Mama Bear. But it did seem like they had that same view that they didn't want that he kind of wasn't himself. He got really negative and he's always a positive person. Like what you said about how each hometown kind of had that same theme where the parents were sort of prepping their sons. It strikes me that's quite a bit different than when we have a Bachelor season and then they kind of, you'll see like the dads grill the lead. And here it's more like they didn't really have, aside from maybe Colton's dad, didn't really have anything tough for Becca to deal with. None of those like hard hitting questions.
Not too tough. It was all just like, why do you think you're falling in love with my son? And she talked about Garrett and the minivan, which I actually forgot about because, again, that's how memorable I consider Garrett anyways. Right. Also, I thought it was funny, speaking of like doppelgangers and twins, that when Becca got to Garrett's house, she's like, your twins, his brother. I thought they didn't look alike, but maybe it's just me.
I didn't think so either. More like his dad looked like him with gray hair. Yeah, I agree. I didn't see a lot of doppelgangers within the families that I can recall.
No, Jason's brother a little bit maybe when we get there, but not much. Nobody was like a dead ringer for each other. Like they could all just be strangers for all we know.
Right.
And also nobody, I know they don't eat on The Bachelor anyways, but they definitely just sat down to dinner, toasted, and then just got up immediately to grill each other. There was no food consumed. And I really hope that none of these families wasted their day and all maybe got like some takeout reimbursed because
true.
I would be so annoyed.
We didn't get the scene of like JoJo's mom just swigging out of the wine bottle.
Iconic. Legend.
Yeah.
And that's how you deal with a family visit.
Right. Yeah. I feel like we've actually seen eating in the past at least on these episodes. Like, I think like Vanessa and Nick, I feel like there's some home cooking involved. And
yeah, I remember Rachel's season, everyone really like sitting down and eating for a while and then awkwardly dismissing themselves eventually to do something.
Yeah.
But usually I feel they have a conversation at the table, but it really was take a sip of your wine, talk about something great you did with Becca, and then like a parent will ask them to have some time alone.
Son, can we like go in the family room for a minute just right away? So true. So that was Garrett's date.
He did say he loved Becca, which I know he said he's all in love with her, but I believe he did finally say the I love you, right?
I think he did. Or at least reiterated what he said before.
Yeah. If not, there's feelings being reiterated over and over and over.
Yes. So
he's getting there because he stressed it to his mom that like he could see a life with her. Oh, I really laughed when his mom said that he has strong values. And I was like, we all know.
Good point.
We know.
Strong feelings about, you know, his own, if you can call them values, I guess, strong-minded. I don't know. Yes.
Listen, I'm sure he has some opinions that are controversial, but I just also don't like him because he's boring. And I think my main thing is I just find, compared to the other guys who are left, that he just seems less charismatic and it's just not popping on TV. And there's something that we're not getting that she's attracted to that I'm, other than the fact that he looks like her ex-boyfriend.
Yeah. And I think there's a familiarity feeling that she mentions a lot that he's kind of like her dad. But do you think Colton's more interesting than Garrett? Because Colton's
Colton is pretty dull. Yeah, that's true. I mean, at least Colton has a charitable side to him. Though I guess, you know, Garrett has a tomato farm, so to each their own.
That's true.
And, I do like both.
Yes. And I think they talk about like being adventurous. So it didn't seem that like they didn't do anything too adventurous on this date.
Even maybe on their hometown. Dates, did they even have fun adventure dates? I can't even remember. That's like, Garrett is so unmemorable. Yeah. I literally cannot tell you like what he did. He definitely got at least one. He got two 101 dates. That's how boring he is. I don't remember. I remember him being on a lot of group dates and being very patient.
Yes. Yes, he's very patient while Chris was trying to monopolize her time.
Yeah.
Yes. Let's see who we have next was Jason. Much more charismatic. Are you as in love with Jason as Haley and I have become?
So I wasn't necessarily feeling it. But my mom texted me about it. And then my friend texted me about it. And Jason definitely does have much more charisma and energy. And I do think if we're going to go back to earlier discussions about if we're going to have a new bachelor, Jason maybe inserted himself into the race.
I think so. I hope so. It's just so odd because, and he even verbalized it that to his mom that, you know, this whole time he's felt like he's coming from behind, he's behind the pack, which very literally was true in the way he was edited and when he got his first one-on-one date. And only one-on-one date. So it just seems odd that he could be a potential bachelor, but I mean, he's final three now. So
look what happened with Lauren B, who is Lauren Blah, you know, nothing on our season. Apparently he was in love with her the whole time, but didn't get a date until really late. So, I mean, either it was a potential that he still could be picked or maybe even bachelor. I mean, we let Juan Pablo be bachelor and he was like seventh out. He was so far out there.
Right.
And I am a Juan Pablo apologist.
Oh, yeah.
So I think we will never hit a height of entertainment that Juan Pablo brought us, despite how terrible he was.
That's true. Well, and I definitely like his season. Like, I was like, yeah, I can see why they picked Juan Pablo, you know, but we didn't really see much of him in Desiree's season, so we didn't know what we were getting.
But Jason's date was really fun.
This was my favorite of the hometowns in terms of just like, it felt like what you would do if you were bringing someone home. It seemed achievable, and like, you'd want to bring them to like a famous restaurant or kind of this like goofy competition, and skating, hockey seems like it's, you know, was really important to him, but it's not like he's going to his high school. You know what I mean? It seemed a little more like mature and realistic.
And I love when he called her the Bexter.
Oh yeah, that was so cute.
It's just very personal. I'm growing on Jason. And also, now that we're talking about this, I really would like wings, but it's kind of late at night and I'm now craving wings again. So nice. Thank you very much. Thanks, Jason.
Yes. So this is what I'm wondering. Was it really bad that I had no idea that buffalo wings were from Buffalo? I just thought it was like a name.
You didn't?
No. I just thought it's a phrase, or, you know, like, I don't know. Buffalo, like the animal. No clue.
We're going to need to I'll make a trip. We're going to go visit Jason's hometown. We're going to try the wings. Though I will say, and everyone can debate us in comments about this, I know that they said that there's no ranch allowed, but I prefer ranch. And I'm sorry for all you purists of wings. Well, and I don't know. Maybe Jason wouldn't accept me.
Maybe this is forgivable. That's why I didn't know that, because I don't eat meat. So maybe it's just like I didn't invest in like knowing. I had buffalo cauliflower and I just never put it together. You know, where the buffalo, I was just like, oh yeah, buffalo sauce. It's just a name.
I'm probably going to spend the night Googling this, or maybe I'll just shout it to my Google Home before I go to sleep to explain the history of buffalo wings to me.
Yeah, exciting. So that was a good learning experience for me. And then, yeah, it just seemed like a really fun date. And apparently Haley has been to this location, so I'm excited to hear her experience.
Boots on the ground. On the ground.
But I wonder why she didn't hear about this taping, because it seemed like, you know, they packed the house, right? It wasn't like just the regular crowd at this restaurant.
Yeah, what's with the crowds on the dates now?
Yeah, hometown dates.
Weird. Yeah.
It seems a little far in the season to be like inviting people to come see. Although you had experience, you had to, with the Men Tell All, Women Tell All, they make you sign something. You're seeing it before it airs, right?
Yeah, you sign a crazy NDA that if you spoil anything, and I don't remember like how long it goes for, but it was a $5 million penalty if you spoiled anything.
Ooh, okay.
I'm sure everyone kind of kept their mouths shut, I'm sure, because who wants to get sued for $5 million? But that's a lot of people to keep quiet very far in the process.
Right. Very far in the process. And it's not like...
it's not live. It was like a while ago when you do the Men Tell All.
It's a few days, a week.
Yeah, it's like I think it was like a week before. We were literally there for under 48 hours. They like flew us out. Mm-hmm. We went and then we were gone the next morning. But it was only a week later because it was right when... It was when Chris Soules got eliminated. It all comes back to Chris Soules in this world.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I was just thinking maybe Becca should have been, she probably would have been too young back then, but on his season.
You know what? There's no such thing, I think, as too young on The Bachelorette at this point, or Bachelor. Because I remember looking up, and I read somewhere that the average for The Bachelor picked like much younger, and then the women tended to pick something that was a little more in like a 2 or 3 year average, like around their age.
Yeah, or close. Okay. Yep. Yeah, that kind of makes sense. Let me see. The other thing I loved about this date was that they got a Zamboni ride, and I think that's a first.
Oh my God. I missed that the first time, and so when I rewatched the episode, I was so excited that I saw this, and it looked so much fun. And this is why now Jason wins probably top date of the episode, if not kind of a top of the season, because it was memorable. And you remember Jason now, who was before, you know, the last couple of weeks, other than going on that creepy Edgar Allan Poe date. He's just been a guy that I think was the sleeper of like, this guy's in Final Four.
Right. Definitely. Because Zambonis, it's like, I've been to hockey games and I never understand how people get to ride on the Zamboni. I've never seen it like advertised, or so he has connections to get that going. And Another cool thing about the state was, I don't know, just his family was really chill. He had his brother and his brother-in-law, and said he really admired their relationship, and that's kind of his new like role models besides his parents. And I thought it was cute how he said, like, I'm kind of the fifth wheel among these two couples. And
I thought that was super sweet, and I really liked his brother and his brother-in-law were really great. His family overall was entertaining. But I did feel bad. I think the one flaw with Jason right now is that Jason is head over heels and he doesn't know how maybe she's connecting more with the other two, it seems. And I feel like he's going to get like a kick in the gut at some point.
Yeah, I felt like his mom was trying to hint at that to him.
It was so heavy. Oh, I bless his heart for, you know what? He's got to keep dream alive and you've got to have hope in it. But I did feel like his poor mom was just trying to tell him over and over.
Like, I couldn't read from her. Do you think maybe she has it stronger with the other guys? And yeah, the fact that he said, now I think I've surpassed the rest of them. It's sort of like, really? Yeah. Like, that's a lot.
And Becca did not sell it in her response to his mom. She really paused a long time. And then it was like, she's like, what is his mom asked? Like, do you think you see yourself with someone? And she was like, yeah. And then like very quiet. And eventually was like, I think so.
Right. And she wasn't, it was interesting wording because she didn't say, oh, do you see yourself with my son? You know, she said, do you see yourself with somebody? And so she was just like, well, I'm hopeful. But she, the way she could phrase it, it could be, yeah, I'm hopeful with Garrett. I'm hopeful with Blake. You know, so yeah.
She's just hopeful in general.
And then the other interesting thing was, so he skipped, he didn't even do the falling in love, so he just skipped right into I'm in love with you, because he missed that on his three-on-one date. He didn't do the, like the progression of I'm falling in love with you, I'm in love with you. He just jumped to I'm in love with you because he kind of got the pressure from his brother that, hey, you don't have much time left, you better tell her how you feel. And I didn't think that Becca really sold anything back to him either. It was sort of like, oh, that makes me so happy. But we didn't get a confession from her afterwards on how she was feeling about him. We didn't really see her give much back there.
So and it was like a really deep confession of love. It was
from him,
like a,
yeah.
Like a poem. Like it was like a poem, like he's been rehearsing in his head.
I know, so sweet.
Did she say that makes me happy to hear, maybe, or something?
Something like
she
that.
Gave like a very hollow thing that it was. I felt bad, but he's so happy. Poor Jay. I really hope that if this doesn't work out, which I think it's kind of clear based on her response, it probably isn't, that I don't know if he's going to paradise, and I'm hoping not, because I actually think he would be a really great potential bachelor now. And a few weeks ago, if not literally 48 hours ago, I would not have said that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think I would be more excited about him than the others who are left in the running, you know, of this top group. So. He just seems like he's ready for it. And I don't know. I just like, his potential storyline there. And what did he say? Something like, for the first time I followed my heart, not my head. And I feel like that could be a total like phrase that they bring into, a bachelor season, kind of like the unlovable Ben Higgins, like, here, I'm going to go with my heart this time.
I just feel like of all the four that we have left in this episode, and if they're all the ones that are potentially up for Bachelor, that I feel like I could watch Jason for 12, 13 episodes and not be like annoyed with him by episode two.
Right. I agree.
Which is saying a lot.
Right. But if he does end up in paradise, I think he'll be a hot commodity there as well.
Oh, yeah. They're all there.
Yes. I guess that's kind of unfair because it seems like it takes them a while sometimes to pick the lead. Obviously we saw with, you know, with Becca, they were, you know, leaning towards Tia for a while, and then obviously the situation changed and it was clear that they had to pick Becca. But if you're kind of one, like the top two or three, you're kind of, I think, going to miss out on the paradise experience because you're thinking, hey, I might be the next bachelor, right? They kind of have to keep you on the hook there, and they don't want to send you to paradise, but then you might miss out on being in anything,
right? Yeah, I think so. And then the only thing is, I could say that we know that Nick Vial, is he Vial or Vial?
I think it's Vial.
Yeah,
like
whatever.
A vial of poison.
Legendary Nick got to go to paradise and then become bachelor. So I wouldn't say it's
true.
Like, a never say never. And that's why I'm just holding my breath that perhaps it's going to be Grocery Joe.
Oh, maybe there's still hope for Grocery Joe.
There's still hope for Grocery Joe because we don't know what's going to happen in Paradise yet.
Definitely.
But at the rate that they're putting everyone on Paradise, like, you're going to have to double dip eventually, because I feel like whatever we're seeing for Paradise, and even if it's just round one, is like 95% where people are that were just on Becca's season.
It seems like it. Yeah, it's just like the last two seasons, just like, hey, get another chance.
But you know what, though? I looked at the girls and I didn't recognize a lot of them. And I pride myself on knowing some of these randos, but they are some real deep cuts of people.
Yeah, even I think from Ari's season, there were ones that I was like, wait, what? Who is this?
There was somebody I legitimately was like, you could put them on there. Maybe they were like when Ashley I's sibling came.
Yeah. Are we sure this person was on the show?
Yeah.
Let's see. The next hometown we get is Blake. What are your thoughts on Blake, just kind of overall? Have you liked him?
I love Blake. So team Blake. I do think, though, that if Blake were to become Bachelor, for, you know, giving everyone's pros and cons, is that I love Blake in small doses. And I feel like if I had to watch him for a full season, he might be a little much. He's very romantic and very emotional, that
very
it might
earnest.
Be
earnest. I think it could get a little cloying, maybe.
Oh my God. Cloying is the exact word I used to describe him today when I discussed that with someone else. So
nice.
I think we're both on the same page. Yeah. I do love Blake, though. I think last week, I'm not like a head over heels romantic, but when Blake made that comment about that, like, falling in love with you would be fun, but like staying in love would be more fun. And I was like, oh my God, my heart skipped a beat.
I was like, he should write a rom-com. That just seems like something that should have been in a rom-com by now. So.
Yeah. Did he, again, much like Jason's Profession of Love, did he write this? Was it spur of the moment?
Right.
That was poetry.
Yeah. I guess, you know, they don't have their phones. They don't have any contact. They have all this time to just work on this kind of stuff. So. It's working for these guys.
I really do. I'm a big Blake fan, though, so I'm a little partial.
Yeah. What do you think of his decision to go to the high school? So at first, you know, I was like, oh, high school, it's kind of lame.
Yeah.
But then, you know, obviously you had that story about the school shooting, which was
I was so moved. I didn't realize, because I definitely did make initially a joke about not a home, you know, the high school dates and,
right,
you know, because they all do that. And it's always just typically like here's where I made out with a girl under the bleachers.
Yeah,
and
it's total Ben Higgins
like my pictures. But to really show the depth of like what Blake went through was really emotional. And then Ashley Spivey or Spivey. Mm-hmm. I'm really bad at their last names. great at the first.
One of Ashley's.
Made a really great point, though, which is how, in hindsight of everything, of knowing the Garrett stuff and then the Blake stuff, of just how like kind of tasteless it ended up being. And perhaps Garrett didn't know. It seems like something that Blake maybe didn't share, shared this with Becca.
Mm-hmm.
But still, it's a very, in hindsight, very awkward situation.
Right. No, that's a good point. And I didn't realize that his mom worked at the school.
No.
So that was kind of interesting, because at first, yeah, again, I'm like, oh, yeah, the high school. And then, you know, why would he go here? This was like kind of, you think, the bad memories of his mom.
I just figured there was like nothing to do in his hometown. Like,
yeah, small town.
You know, what else are we going to do? Right. You know, the coffee shop's closed. So let's go to the school.
And then the other like thing that hit me that was depressing was like, okay, you know, we saw the name of the high school and it didn't register to me of like, oh, there was a shooting at this high school. And that just depressed me that like, okay, because only one person got killed, we didn't hear about this one. Or
Or I wondered, like, did I forget about this? Which is even sadder that, you know, that happens.
Mm-hmm.
It just was something, a date that took you out of sort of the Bachelor for a moment, but like in a good way, to just make you think of everything overall.
Right, right. It was a good perspective. And I think it brought them definitely closer together. And this is one of the guys where we really see how she feels about him. She'll tell the camera that like she reciprocates those feelings. And we haven't really seen, now I'm thinking that I don't think Garrett said he's in love to her. He might have said it to the camera, because we didn't hear her vocalize that to the camera.
So when we were talking about it, I went back to my recap to see, and now that I'm seeing it, I didn't see the I love you. I think that he just like the family approved. And I think he said he's falling for her, or he's like really there. But I don't know if he said it to her. I think you're right. I think he didn't say it fully yet.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I hear Blake, like when they're saying goodbye, he's just said, I love you. And so he's just like fully all in. Then I noticed when he was showing his high school photo that, and maybe I knew this and forgot, but that his last name is Horstman. And so I think that's why he did the horse for his first entrance.
Amy, you just blew my mind. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I also forgot that he was a first night guy. Wow. I'm not good at remembering their limbo entrances, which is just the point of how dumb the limbo entrances are, because the only one who remembers usually is Becca.
Mm-hmm.
Except yeah, when for she was Cupcake talking to Chris, that's the only person I remember.
Yeah. When Becca was talking to Garrett's mom about the minivan, she brought up like, oh, he had a diaper bag and orange slices. I'm like, oh, I don't remember seeing any of this.
Yeah, was that in the HD we didn't see?
Yeah. Apparently it was really involved. So,
yeah.
So the other thing with Blake's date was he had a surprise concert of Betty Who. And I felt also,
who?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, am I just really out of it? I didn't know who she was either. I was just learning all sorts of things.
It's classic Bachelorette, that listen, it's a concert and there's, I guess, a niche, and it's just never one that any of us overlap with. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've only enjoyed one private concert ever, and that was probably the Boys to Men. And they didn't even, it wasn't even private, and it was more they were ruining their songs and then they performed.
Yeah.
That was what it, or maybe Richard Marx is awkward singing to them in private for like two bars.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I like it more if it's a group date. There's some kind of embarrassment factor of a competition rather than just an endless parade of private concerts. But here, it's like the tables were turned. Obviously, he had to go through producers and figure it out. But I guess it was her favorite singer. So it wasn't like random to her.
I'd say the song, or at least the second song, because I actually... they did two for once. Mm-hmm. Sounded sort of familiar. Okay. I liked it. I'd say in terms of like private concert dates, I actually listened to the music versus 99% of the time I tune it out because it's some sort of country music that I'm just not really into. It's not my bag. So I could maybe listen to a little Betty Who on Amazon Music or something.
I did a quick Google of her, and if I have this right, I think she sings the revamped Queer Eye theme song on Netflix.
What?
So that is a
okay.
Good
thing. Oh, then she's a mega star to me.
Exactly. And yeah, so his family, they are at least all comfortable being in the same room. I was expecting some awkwardness with like his divorced parents, but it didn't seem like there's any at this point. Were you surprised by that at all?
Not really, but I have to say, in terms of all the Blake stuff, I feel like Blake's beginning half of the date was so powerful that his family side, I actually, even though I've watched it twice, kind of forget a lot of what happens other than his mom. But everything else, I just kind of forgot about it.
Yeah. And maybe this is bad to say, but I feel like I was sort of like when his mom kept saying like, oh, like this ex really broke his heart. Like, I can't believe, you know, he was so hurt by this. And I started thinking, like, well, what about in high school when he just like left the family? Like, didn't that break his heart? And, like, it's just, they didn't acknowledge this, like the divorce really at all and how that affected him.
It was like all the parents kind of being like, oh, this is going to be a lot of mess for me to clean up later. Like, it was really about, like, it was about them, but it was also like, but also think of us.
Right. It seemed like it wasn't that long ago that this breakup happened. It seemed like they were just dealing with it.
Have we heard about Blake's like previous relationship before?
I think on their one-on-one, he went into it a little bit, and that's kind of how they connected on it. I can't remember what it was. Like,
I think he talked about falling really hard, because it's clear that's like kind of Blake's tendency, is he gets all in, all up in a relationship.
Yeah. Yes. I think it was. He got blindsided by a breakup and wasn't expecting
it. Yes.
So if he isn't the one that Becca chooses, it could be just like a repeat of history that he's gonna be really caught off guard. So
do you want my Blake theory? This is what I'm thinking. And I assure everyone I've not read any spoilers. My new theory that I concocted as of last week was when Becca starts saying that she is, you know, she said last week, like, she's starting to feel the feelings. And this week she basically said, like, I'm in love with Blake and I haven't told him. Mm-hmm. I have this irking feeling that it's like, Blake is the guy that she's wanted to pick all along and has felt in her heart was mm-hmm. like the right pick. Mm-hmm. Almost even, I guess, paralleling her own story from last season, okay. but that she's going to pick Garrett. This is where I'm at right now. That's Blake is who she thought she was going to pick.
Right.
But something changes something and she picks the paint drying Garrett.
Because we saw a preview where she said, this is exactly what Ari did to me. I'm doing what Ari did to me. And I was trying to, I thought it was like maybe who she's, like maybe she says, I love you to one of them.
And yeah. Or I even thought it could be like to Jason because like, I think Jason's just so all in and that she's not intentionally doing it. And it's like, also this is what the show is, but it's a little bit of leading on that if she isn't as super into Jason as she is the other ones, like it is the nature of, you know, the Bachelorette.
Right. And I think, you know, you get to the fantasy suites, you're in the top three. I think everybody thinks they're the winner at that point. You know,
we're all the winner in our own story.
Yes. Everybody's the hero. So very true. Yeah, I don't really remember much else of, well, no, I do remember of his family date that he and his dad, and maybe this is the part where I felt like it could get cloying. It was just like, he's so, but it's a good quality. I mean, he's just so like open about everything, about how he's feeling. And so he had this like really earnest talk with his dad about, well, and then I talked to her about this and you know, I told her I'm in love with her. And now like, I don't know. I can't imagine having any of these conversations with family members. Maybe that's my issue.
No, everyone is very open with their family. And in particular, Colton's date is a level of honesty that I'm very open with my family. We talk about some stuff, but there are certain things that I don't think I'd ever say. And they are pretty much everything that happens on these hometown dates.
Yes. Yeah. So let's get into Colton's hometown.
18 people. He introduced her to 18 people.
And it wasn't like his entire family. They're like, oh, this is just some of our family. What do they say? Like, three of my brothers. I'm like, how many do you have?
And we should backtrack a little bit. He also expressed like, I don't introduce girls to my family, which is like a red flag for Becca. And then when he gets the chance to, he brings a small, I don't know, is that like the size of at least part of a football team? Like
totally. Maybe
like defensive line.
Yeah. Yep. And he tells his little cousin, yep, this is my girlfriend. And that's not confusing at all when she never sees Becca again.
Yep.
Right.
Never.
Oh, my goodness. I feel like I should look up how many siblings he has because he introduced her to four of them, but we didn't really meet them. Are they all a lot younger? I don't know what was going on there, but is he the oldest? And are they all like from one, you know, is it like a second marriage or situation? I wasn't sure because it looked like a lot of little kids. And maybe that's why we didn't see like a whole lot of that.
You know, it was a real party there. I hope they did get to eat the food if they did sit down for dinner then.
Yeah. but before they go there, they go to the children's hospital. And so that's kind of his new gig.
Loved this.
Yeah.
I thought this was so wonderful.
And we used to get group dates where Bachelor gives back, and we haven't had those in a while. So nice to see them
they
do
really
something.
Should.
Yeah.
I think it's always good to see when they do this. And for Colton, he's talked about, and I think it's kind of been missed for a while, but oddly enough, of all the things I remember from episode one, which is little, it was his cystic fibrosis foundation. Mm-hmm. And to be able to see like how much passion he has for it and that this is something that he does. And it was really sweet to see that side of him since I think we both were saying earlier, he can be a little droll and boring.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it was really nice.
Yes. And I think maybe that cousin that he introduced her to, I think it's his cousin that has like a young family member that has cystic fibrosis is how he had that connection to it, I believe.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of special there. And it was just really cute to see them playing with these two children that were in the hospital and pick out gifts for them. And just like a different feel for a hometown date. So that was nice. And let's see what else. I know you want to talk about his dad, the new character
the
that
star.
Emerged.
Yeah, our family star is Colton's dad. Everyone else who has like prepared their sons for inevitable heartbreak getting mm-hmm. ready to you know, sweep up the pieces, was Colton's dad, who basically says, just do it now and get it over with.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not going to pick them, just do it this week.
Yeah. And she does follow suit, although she might have had some other influence on that, because it wasn't really clear after that date that that's the way she was leaning, because he does reveal his feelings as well and says that he's falling in love with her, which I was really kind of surprised, because it sort of came out of nowhere for me.
Yeah, all of it in general with Colton has always seemed a little like they had maybe like a physical chemistry, but mm-hmm. overall, they just kind of seemed to never really vibe. It was weird. It came on, or even just like him introducing himself like, this is my girlfriend. It never seemed very authentic. And I don't know if that was just their connection or him mm-hmm. in general. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it might be him in general, and maybe it's, you know, the lack of experience there. And last week we talked about, Haley and I talked about his comment about, you know, I haven't told my dad that I'm still a virgin, and we thought that was like the weirdest thing ever. But I guess like he's told everyone, you know, he's told his mom. So, you know,
yeah, maybe apparently it's a very in-depth discussion. But his mom gave him a funny look when he said it too.
Like, why are you talking about this on TV?
Yeah, like, huh?
Yeah.
It was just like a lot of TMI in this one. I don't know if it was like he knew it was a swan song and to like put it all out there in case he wanted to be bachelor. I don't know. It was just, it was a lot.
Yeah.
And not even the, I actually am going to say, maybe not the biggest TMI of the night. I think we can save that for come rose ceremony.
Oh, right. Yes. A lot of awkwardness. Yes, they ended. And to me, it seemed like at that point, she kind of said that she was falling in love with him too. So
I don't buy it.
No,
I don't
think it was just kind of a,
I don't know. I never really felt the connection. Did you?
No, not really. We talked a lot about how it just seems like, you know, she likes making out with him, and she's talked about how dreamy he is. But it didn't seem like there was anything that deep there, but maybe after the children's hospital, I don't know.
Yeah. Cause I mean, like, it's kind of the same thing like with Jason, which is, I just think her and Jason have an actual, like, more like friendship, like chemistry, along with like the passion and how much she likes making out with them. Mm-hmm. So I just think that makes more sense than Colton, other than like Colton's a good looking dude.
Right. Let's see. Before we get to the next part of it, which is kind of an interesting development, I wanted to talk to you about Warby Parker. Mel, have you heard of Warby Parker before?
I have heard of Warby Parker, and I've checked out their website, and I've gotten to go to one of their stores, which is pretty nice. Cool.
What location were you at?
The Newberry Street in Boston location.
Oh, amazing.
I tried on the sunglasses there because I love sunglasses, and they have sunglasses there for both prescription and non-prescription. I actually do not have glasses in general, so it was cool to know that I could actually get sunglasses there and not just like standard glasses.
Yeah. So Warby Parker is a new concept in eyewear. They were founded with a rebellious spirit and a lofty goal to create boutique quality eyewear at a revolutionary price point. And I've just been huge fans of them for a while. I've had Warby Parker glasses, for a while now. And I just love the style, and I'm just a big fan of eyewear in general. Haley and I talk about it a lot with different guys on the show who have just like look better with frames. Like certain people, I feel like even if they don't have prescriptions, they just, you know, it completes their look. But like this season, Connor, when he was wearing his glasses, just, you know, just fit his face. And Diggy before, you know, of course we love Diggy.
Oh, king of glasses. Yes. King of glasses is Diggy.
You know, he proves that you definitely need more than one pair of frames if you do wear prescription eyewear. And so I've worn prescription glasses since I was 18. And back then, it's just always kind of an ordeal to just choose your glasses, go to a store, and it's just a huge investment in price. Whereas with Warby Parker, they've just got an amazing price point. Their glasses are available exclusively through their website and retail stores, and the glasses start at $95. That's including prescription lenses, and every pair is custom fit with anti-reflective polycarbonate prescription lenses. And, you know, what happened to me before is like, okay, you want the anti-reflective coating. That's another, you know, huge like add-on price, and the frames are one price, the prescription's one price. And they believe that prescription eyewear shouldn't cost you more than a plane ticket or a new iPhone, which, you know, if you go other places, it really does. And so with Warby Parker, I'm able to have a few pairs that I can swap in and out. And I feel like it's just fun. It makes eyewear fun. And they also have a purpose behind their eyewear. Almost 1 billion people worldwide lack access to glasses. And that means 15% of the global population cannot effectively learn or work. And with Warby Parker, they partner with nonprofits like Vision Spring. So every pair of glasses sold, a pair is distributed to someone in need, which is really awesome. And
that's really cool.
Yeah. And you don't have to live nearby a location. It's really cool if you do, but they have this great home try-on program where you can order 5 pairs of glasses, try them on for 5 days, and there's no obligation to buy. They ship for free with a prepaid return label. It's so easy. This is how I've done it every time I've gotten glasses from them. So to get your own free home try-ons, go to warbyparker.com/batch, B-A-C-H. And like I said, the glasses start at $95, including the prescription and the anti-glare, anti-scratch. And there was one time when I was getting a pair. So my last pair that I got, until my most recent one, I got a new one. But I think I went through 3 home try-on boxes because I was just like, okay, my new prescription came in. So I'm like, okay, this is my pair that I'm going to be wearing all the time. And I really wanted to get it right. And it just couldn't be easier. There was no obligation with that first box. I'm like, you know what? I'm not sure. I want to try this other set of 5. And it's just so much fun when you get the box to, I don't know, you just don't know exactly what is going to look right on you. And you're in the comfort of your own home. This last box that I got, I was like so excited. I went into my car because I was on my way out the door and I saw the box was there in my mailroom. Like, okay, I'm taking this with me. I'm going to try it on and look in my rearview mirror just to like see what I had. And it's just, I don't know. I can't rave about them enough because I just love the style. The hardest part is trying to decide which one you want. And then they also have this cool new app. And if you have an iPhone X, they've got this extra feature, Find Your Fit. And so they'll give you recommendations using the iPhone X's true depth camera to map and measure key facial features. So like you said, they do have sunglasses that are non-prescription. So they can recommend that for you as well. You can try on sunglasses, which I also think are really hard to pick out for yourself. And it's just more fun to be able to take pictures and send them to your friends or get opinions of your family. And
not feel rushed, because totally. I know you can just like stand around a store for an hour and a half trying things on and you just don't know. So it's nice to like not have to stand in a store and do it. You can sit on the couch and take your time.
Yeah.
And not feel like pressure. Awkward.
Yeah. Because I've also had that situation where a salesperson recommends something that you're like not quite feeling, but you sort of feel like, okay, well, I kind of want to get out of here. Or, you know, they said they liked it. I'm not quite sure, but I'm here by myself and I don't really have anyone else I can trust. So you come home with something that you're not really sure about. And like I said, the iTunes app, after you head to warbyparker.com/batch and place your home try-on order, make sure to download the Warby Parker app from the iTunes App Store. They have this cool companion feature, which allows you to take photos wearing the frames, stitch it into a video, share it with friends and family to help you pick a winner. So I ended up picking a second pair to kind of have like this extra pair. It's always good to have an extra pair, but just something more like dressier. So I went up with this Tansley frames.
Ooh.
Normally I wear the Daisy, which I really like as my day-to-day, but Tansley is like black cat eye with like a little gold on the bridge. And I just, was something that I wouldn't have thought, but because you can try on 5 pairs, I was like, hey, I actually really like how these look. It's something different, and got my boyfriend's opinion on them. So, you know, it's a lot more fun to, you know that someone else vouches for them. And I probably would have gone with something a little more safe and more too similar to what I already have if I hadn't got, you know, my boyfriend's opinion. So I like to be able to just do it at home. And again, go to warbyparker.com/batch. Send me, Haley and Mel, pictures. We'll weigh in and let us know what you think. We'll give you our opinions. And that's that. I feel like I could talk about them forever, but because I'm, you know, I'm really excited that they're sponsoring this episode. All right. Now we have to talk about this. What would you call it? The Girl Squad coming back to LA.
Weird situation. Becca says about like, let's talk about it with the people who know me best, which is the five friends that she made on a reality show a year ago.
Right.
That came for a spa day and hasn't heard a single thing about any of the guys they're dating.
Exactly. She's talked about family being so important and, you know, her friends back home. But yeah, these are the people who know me best, who don't have any ulterior motives going on whatsoever. They're going to be able to tell her who she should pick. This was just really kind of a setup for Tia to give her a change of heart, right?
Yeah, it all felt, you know, staged and set up to an extent. And I'm sure maybe that there was like this early on thing where maybe she thought like, no, it was like a thing in the past. And then maybe the more Tia thought on it, the more she realized like, no, I actually really did like this dude. Mm-hmm. But it all was just too convenient of a time.
Yeah. And I just found myself just getting really, really annoyed with Tia. Like, why now? Why not on the spa date? Does it really take you this long to figure it out that you were uncomfortable with it? Wouldn't it have been a lot easier to mention it back then and say, hey, you know, maybe let him go earlier? Or are you buying that she really like took her this long?
I'm 50-50. So okay. Actually, I listened to Ben and Ashley I's podcast today, and I didn't want to skew my opinion too much. So I only listened to the section, which is that Colton was on. Okay. And they got right into the details right away about Colton and Tia, because what else are you going to talk to him about?
Right.
And so what was interesting is that Colton explained what the backstory was.
Okay.
So he had applied for the show for The Bachelorette. Mm-hmm. And when you apply for the show, I don't know if anyone knows, usually there's like four or five people that are in contention for the running. And they ask like, who are you interested in? Mm. And I think very famously, like in the past, there was when... was it Wes way, way back on Ashley season? And he made the comment, like, I thought it was going to be Emily.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that? Very dramatic. So Colton said that when he like was there, he said he was interested in Lauren Blah, Becca and Tia.
Oh, right.
And
so when they didn't know who won or, you know, at that point.
Right.
Yeah.
And at the time they always, I think in the past, they still do it too. Like without giving out spoilers, it's, you know, here's people who are near the end, but mm-hmm. it's not necessarily like revealing who it was. So it could be like who was chosen, but it was, you know, to them a mystery. And so Colton explained that when he got home from casting, he followed all three of them on Instagram and that Tia followed him back. And then he was like posting about Stranger Things. She slid into his DMs to talk about Stranger Things, or as he said, Elle.
Okay. The character.
And, yeah. And I guess that's where they struck up a friendship or, you know, started chatting. Hmm. And eventually they went on a weekend together and got the Airbnb. And it was that one weekend together we've heard about. Mm-hmm. And they were also like both very open and honest about their situations, that she was up for Bachelorette still, that he was trying out for the show, and that there wasn't like a super strong connection to be like, no, you shouldn't do it. This like both were like, oh no, this is an opportunity like for me to find somebody. So like I'm both like, Tia said, I'm going to do it. He said, I'm going to do it. Like it was agreed upon.
Okay.
And this was a super interesting part.
That maybe they would both be on the same season, right?
It sounded like maybe that wasn't even really like in their minds, but it was in the back of their minds. Mm-hmm. Or at least I didn't write that down as a note. Mm-hmm. But Colton said this was really like, oh, he explained that he had FaceTimed with Tia while she was on a vacation with Becca and Caroline, and maybe there are other girls, but he said he like briefly met Becca and Caroline over the phone on FaceTime.
Becca from
like this Becca, Becca, Becca,
Becca, Becca. Really?
Yes.
That has not come up.
but they went on their weekend together and kind of left it more like that this was like a friendship thing. Like they had it like a little thing, but nothing really.
Right.
And then he also said that he was just really surprised to hear that Becca did return before what went down at the rose ceremony this week, that he didn't know about it at the time.
Oh, didn't know that Tia came by?
Right.
Mm. Yeah, so she eliminated him. She didn't tell him. She said, like, she cited his dad as kind of the reason, like, okay, he didn't want, you know, me to lead you on. She didn't say, and also Tia's interested in you still.
Right. And maybe that, like, is the case, that maybe it was that she wasn't, like, as strongly connected to him. I mean, clearly we think that they had no connection. So maybe the Tia thing did and didn't factor into it. I'm not sure. But I'd say the Ben and Ashley I podcast, which I sometimes love and sometimes just don't really care about. Mm-hmm. I thought this was interesting, at least to give it a listen, to get Colton's side of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is interesting. And it has been announced that he's on Paradise.
And then Tia's in Paradise. On
Paradise. I think even the Bachelor account tweeted it out, like, oh, Tia's waiting for you in Paradise. So
they've got that tweet scheduled for, like, show ends at 10. At 10:01, they're ready to tell you that. Right. Don't worry that Becca about just sent them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it makes sense that they took him out of the running for Bachelor, because, you know, she has the storyline, and this is how they have to put them back together and see if that couple works out. Do you have hope for them in Paradise?
Yeah, you know what? I liked Tia, and I wouldn't have minded her as Bachelorette. I really thought that she, for a long time, was going to be the Bachelorette. Yeah, I had my money on it from very early in the season. I think even mm-hmm. like weeks two or three, I was like, oh, they're setting her up for sure. But
right.
You know, thanks, yeah. Ari.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's, let's see. The other, we didn't really see anything else with other women there. They just sort of breezed through her other, like, recapping the date she had, and then Tia just pulled her aside. So I don't think they really lent any advice. I think that just sort of killed the moment, or it was just set up just for that moment.
Yeah, the only thing I thought was maybe interesting was, since we know, you know, a couple weeks ago, baby Becca and Tia got into some, she got into beef Raven about Tia, which is interesting just because we know this was filmed, you know, months ago, and now it's all coming out. So that gave like another layer to it to me.
She got into a feud with Raven on Twitter about Tia being in Paradise, and it was revealed that Colton was there. So if people saw this feud, then it's like, okay, well, I guess Colton's not the winner. And then, to me, what was interesting about that was that, okay, well, isn't Becca in Paradise? Because we thought, you know, Chris Harrison brought that up, and, you know, that, like, she's got a ticket to Paradise. But another story came out this week that she actually little Becca did not go to Paradise. And the reason is because she is dating someone and it became serious. So that's the other news. So congrats to her. Although I am sad that she's not on the season. How about you?
I'm sad because I would have enjoyed. I love Becca, as I call her, baby Becca. Mm-hmm. I don't follow a lot of the cast members outside of maybe one or two, maybe here or there on Instagram. Mm-hmm. I follow Becca on Twitter because I think she is phenomenal at Twitter just in general. Mm-hmm. So I'm bummed that we don't get to see her. Maybe next year she can join the bartending staff at the rate, because the greatest people that they have on their franchises are behind the bar. And that's what I'm here. I watch Paradise for, you know, whatever drama, but I think this season I'm here for the bartenders.
Yeah. Yuki.
And Wells. I love Yuki. I'm here. I love Wells, but I'm here for Yuki. I am a Yuki super fan. And she's one of the few I actually follow on social media because I think she's a delight.
Yes. And so is it Jorge? Is that the original bartender? Is that
his name? Yes. My one and only Jorge, the bartender.
Yes. I'm my just excited to see him interact with Yuki. I think that'll be
cute.
Oh
my gosh.
Be fun. The only thing I don't want to see are Wells's puppets. I can do without the puppets. I don't know if you're a fan of that, but
some of the gags are a little much.
Yes. Do you think Sarah Hyland will make an appearance in Paradise ever? Is that beneath her?
Good point. I mean, Modern Family is allegedly ending, but they say that every year.
Yeah.
No, I think she's still too much above it. I feel like they want to keep up this allure, like that Wells is still, like, even part of their crew when he's even, like, too cool for school at this point.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure he worked out a good negotiation for the second season here.
It's just funny that Wells is the bartender, considering that I think of all people on this franchise, he's the only person who probably hasn't tended bar for a living.
True. Yeah, it doesn't sound like he had much.
Like, he has a real job. Like, most of these people, a lot of them don't go back to their jobs.
Right.
And I guess good on them if they don't have to. But, like, he's got a job compared to others.
Yeah, he could be the DJ of Paradise instead. And but yeah, I don't know if Yuki has done bartending before either. So
this should be great. That's all I know, is that sweet Yuki is back, and they found a way wisely to get her here, knowing that, like, perhaps her finding love on these shows was, you know, trickier. Plus, right. She was younger than baby Becca. She was only 21.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, there when Wells was on the previous season, they left it open to him. He could have found love there with Danielle or so, you know, this way it's like she's there. She's not in fear of being eliminated. But hey, maybe she could find love with Grossy Joe. You know,
we never know. We're putting it out there. Amy, you've just put in the universe and this needs to happen. That it needs to be Grocery Joe and Yuki yes. together forever. They would replace my favorite Bachelor franchise couple, which is actually also from Winter Games. I'm a big fan of Courtney and Lily. They are my new faves.
They're still going strong, right?
They seem like it. Yeah, they Good. Are both really fun.
Yeah, they are fun. So let's go back to this rose ceremony and the awkwardness that was Colton's entrance.
Oh my God. What is happening? Colton, did he drink truth serum this episode?
I don't know, but he felt the need to, as if Chris Harrison didn't know, but, you know, like, hey, Chris, as you know, or like, I don't know about what's the expectation on hometown because, I am a virgin.
And Chris is like, I don't know, dude, like, do what you want.
Right.
He's like, you don't know what's like, okay.
Haven't you watched the show before? Like, they don't, you know, you can do what you want. Like, I don't know if
Colton's it's not like required. You can also decline. We had that happen.
That's happened quite a bit, actually. Or the lead lets the person who's going to be third place lets them go before they offer them the key, I think, too. We've seen Andy do that with Chris Soules. Yep. So that's always, yeah, I don't know if he watched too much of this before or if he thought maybe he was just pulling Chris aside and it wasn't going to be aired.
Forced.
Or... yeah,
no, like, if you go here, I'm sorry, you have to have sex with her. I'm sorry.
Right. Yes, it just has to happen. Or I know, that's so funny. It was very odd. I don't know if it was like, it almost seemed like he was trying to ask off the record, like, hey, Chris, like, let me know, like, bro to bro, what do I have to do here?
And then it was like a, you know, like, good chat, bro. And then he just heads into the rose ceremony.
Right. Like, okay, we're cool.
We good, bud.
Yeah. Because he had talked about, like, that he wouldn't tell anyone before. But yeah, now the truth serum's out there. It's been aired, I guess. Like, now, what does he have to hide? He can just... openly
he's free
anyone.
He's happy and he's free. Listen, he just told a woman he loved her and, you know, then she shot him down, but yes. he was riding high.
Is he gonna be the new Ashley I of Paradise, where there's just like every other word is gonna be, well, you know, maybe tonight's the night. I'm a virgin.
Yeah, Ashley I finally can, you know, put aside her crown and pass it on mm-hmm. to Colton, the new virgin of Paradise yes. and the franchise for yes. now. Who knows what will happen? And that will be, that for sure will be like the major storyline of Paradise if he gets back together with Tia or mm-hmm. anyone.
Yeah. Yeah. I can totally see, you know, Tia's just going to like make her claim. Like Colton's not going to be able to go on any other dates. It's just sort of like those two to figure out if there's something there still, because she's gonna lock it down. Like who was it, who was the woman, was her name Ashley as well, with Graham, where she just was like wouldn't let anyone else like talk to Graham? Season one.
Yeah, was it, yeah, or was it Lace? No, Lace was with
Grant.
Like, yeah,
Ashley with maybe two,
everybody
E's
stakes their claim. The week one people always stake their claim. Someone's gonna mm-hmm. get it, even if it's a week one thing. Someone will try to get a date with Colton. And that will be where the drama is. He'll accept.
Yes. Oh, that'd be exciting. I'm already looking
Unless
forward
it's,
to it.
Like Kaylin, who had nobody and then went on a date with himself.
Yeah. Which that will be. Do we hear if Chris from this season is going to Paradise or not?
I believe Chris will be there. And I have to feel like nobody would accept a date, right?
I hope. But I believe they also didn't see his downfall. I think they only saw the good date that he had with Richard Marx. So maybe in Paradise. He doesn't have the bad rep yet, but I just, even so, I feel like it will reveal itself. Like, it's just his personality.
And they all talk, I mean, they all talk if they're all friends with Becca and it's, you know, half of Becca's posse there.
They would have heard about
and him. even the guys, too, because it's, you know, 17 guys that Becca dated.
Yeah. Basically, everyone except Lincoln got the invite, right?
What are there more of, Colton's family members or guys that Becca dated on the season of Paradise?
Oh, my gosh. Exactly. I think it's about even. I think you're right.
I might 18. Go do that tally later. I'll look into it.
Nice. All right. So were you surprised that it was Colton to be the one eliminated at this point?
No, not at all. Their connection was a little weird. And the Tia thing just kind of sealed the deal. Once they saw the trailer with Tia, it was like, oh, yeah, it's over. It's over.
Yeah. And in this case, what I have to give them credit, the show credit for it, they showed the clip of Tia in the preview that she was disgusted, and it actually was what we thought it was going to be. It wasn't a misdirect.
So no.
She really was disgusted. I thought, you know, it could have been something else where she's totally fine with it and she's disgusted about something else. But no, she really is not happy. And maybe, you know, the producers had said, like, for that first date, maybe she wasn't feeling great about it at that time. But they said, like, oh, you know, he might not last long. Just, you
right.
know, we'll send you back.
And I appreciated that it was like a nice, like, woman to woman talk, though. It wasn't them fighting. It wasn't she was disgusted with Becca.
True.
And it was more that she was like about her own feelings. I think she wanted to be cool about it, too.
Right.
Like, it wasn't a big deal. And if he stays, and if not, he's gone, and then good on you. Like, it wasn't like some fake stage cat fight between them. And it wasn't like Paradise. It was just two friends in this weird, we both like the same guy kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. She didn't do it even in front of those friends. And, you know, she expressed, like, I'm really happy for you about these other three. Just sort of like, my preference is pick one of those three.
Yeah.
But yeah. And Becca,
was like, don't worry, I was planning on it.
Yeah.
Or at least there's two of them here that I prefer anyways.
Right. So I think maybe it came down to, like, maybe she didn't have the knowledge that he was a virgin as well. Like, maybe he would have been like her third pick. But like, OK, maybe it makes sense to get rid of him here.
And somebody even said, one of the girls was like, when she said that Jason was the best kisser, like, in the world or whatever, they're like, oh, take him to fantasy suites.
Totally. I heard that too, like, in the background. It's so funny. Yeah, that's another point that she's mentioned about Jason quite a few times. So that bodes well for him if he was chosen as the bachelor, you know,
or bodes well for those four or five girls sitting on the couch if they're going to Paradise, which I think, besides now Becca, they're all going, right? I think
so. Sienne too? I thought she had was maybe dating someone, but
that would actually, Sienne, I don't know. I do know Kendall is going.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, is Caroline?
I think so.
I think it makes sense, especially Caroline is Becca's, it seems like, actual best friend at this point. So I feel like she's got a lot of pull.
Yeah. And she was totally invisible on her season, but, you know, good for her that she has remained in the limelight. So made it work for her. And then, yeah, there's some others, like, what's her name? The one, is it Crystal? I can't remember her name.
Oh, yeah, Crystal's back.
Yeah. And then the mom, what was her name? The other blonde.
I think because I kept thinking it was Olivia, but it's not.
She looks like Olivia.
She kind of looks like her.
She looks
like
Olivia. But yeah, she was.
She's there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. A lot of Ari rejects, a lot of Becca rejects.
Yeah.
And a few randos in between.
Right. Yeah. Obviously, I'm already just excited about Paradise.
I know. Can I come back to talk Paradise too? Because I do. Paradise is just, it's exactly what you need in the summer, especially after, a long, hot and boring season of The Bachelorette. You need something to really ramp up the summer. And that's, you know, that's Paradise.
Yeah. It's the way to ride out the summer and revisit these characters and just don't know what to expect. Hopefully none of the serious drama that happened last time. And it'll just be like a fun romp is what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, hopefully. I think we're back to normal. I do think that the show has gotten better, it seems, about their safety, security, bar tabs, etc. That said, they did hire two people who literally don't know how to make drinks properly to serve alcohol. But let's hope perhaps it's a facade like everything else. But
yeah,
I'd still like to think they'd at least teach them how to make a margarita here and there.
Right. Well, and I think I heard Wells on a podcast talking about how he barely had to make any drinks because women didn't really want to like gain weight. You know, they didn't want any fancy drinks. They were just drinking like skinny cocktails or something. So,
oh, well, that's boring.
Yeah.
I wonder what the snack, and I think Haley must wonder this too, like, what's the snack chat sitch in paradise?
What are they eating there?
They're not, they didn't eat this week. I bet Haley watched this week. They did kind of eat the wings, though. I'm not convinced Becca ate all those wings. I feel like somebody put some in a bowl for her. And she also left. I know you're a vegetarian and you're not eating meat. And I do dabble in trying not to eat as much, but like really just like left a lot on the bone that seemed very wasteful.
Right.
And she might have been cheating to win that competition.
Yeah, for sure. Goodness. But of the four hometowns, was Jason's your favorite?
Jason's was a fave. I remember it. It made me remember Jason. And the fact is that we're getting to the end. Someone's got to make an impression either to win, to lose, or to be bachelor. And the best impression you kind of want to leave at this point is who's bachelor contender. And now Jason's out there. And I'm excited. I would.
Yeah.
I love Blake. I'm team Blake. But do I really want to watch a full season of Blake? Yeah. No. And I think I've made it very clear my thoughts about having to watch Garrett for a season would be slow, painful torture of just boredom.
Really would. Yeah. And he made Buffalo exciting. I was like, oh, you know, it's kind of like how they made Richmond, Virginia exciting. Wasn't expecting.
I feel more sold on going to Buffalo than I do on Richmond. And it probably cost a heck of a lot less.
Right. So with that, let's jump into questions and I'll do a quick recap of our draft. As much as I don't like to talk about it because Haley and I are woefully behind and there's really no hope for us, but Melissa Denning of the Bachelor, or not Bachelor, the Big Brother live feed correspondent fame is way ahead. She has 177 points. She has Garrett and Jason as her two picks that remain.
Oh man,
so those are some strong picks. Yeah, and so if Jason is picked for the Bachelor, she's gonna get points for that. And then I lost Colton, so now I'm locked in at 113 points, but I'm tied with Haley, so Haley's caught up to me. But yeah, we're at 113 points and Melissa has 177, so there's just really like a big gap there. And Haley has Blake still in the game. So that's a very strong pick as well. And at George CTV, follow him for, you know, all the latest in draft points. Or if you need to see the full spreadsheet, he does a great job of keeping track of all the little intricacies of our draft. Who says I love you? Who, how many kisses they get? I don't know what we do without him. So thank you, George. And George actually sent in a question, so let's jump into questions. If you have a question, you can send it to, you can post on Facebook or tweet us or send an email, bachelorwrapup@gmail.com. So George sent us a ding, marry, kill, okay? And it's a family-friendly version since it's a family episode. Okay, Melissa. Of the final three guys' families, which one would you be willing to spend one fun night with? Which one would you be okay spending the rest of your life with? And which one would you kill yourself before you spent any time with them? So, okay, this is the final three. So we'll take Colton's out of the mix.
Okay, Colton's out. Good, because that's a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And that was just a small brood. Mm-hmm. Okay, so one night with maybe Blake's family.
Okay.
Rest of my life with Jason's family seemed very chill. I liked them.
They were very chill about the process and everything.
Yeah, chill about the process, very realistic, and also just seemed like a nice group. Mm-hmm. And then I guess I didn't want to be around Garrett's family. They were a lot, just in general.
Yeah, they were pretty intense, like especially the mama bear.
Yeah, mama bear. Oh boy.
Yes.
And listen, like I said, they deservedly were too, but they just seemed maybe like it'd just be a lot.
Yeah, and the more I think about, I mean, 2 years ago really is not that long ago to have gone through a whole wedding and divorce in that short of a time. That's a lot for a family to go through, and you get excited about, you know, the wedding, and then it's like over before it began, it seemed like.
And there was like some really bad blood, it sounds like. So it was a lot to have kind of aired on TV, and I'm sure that Garrett's ex-wife and her family are absolutely thrilled by this. It would not shock me, but I don't think they would. But it would not shock me in any capacity if they somehow brought like Garrett's ex-wife out to like men tell all or like after the final rose or something. And that would be fun. But I don't think they will.
Right.
But that'd be really cool.
But yeah, I am surprised I haven't seen, like you mentioned, there were stories like her friends, but I'm surprised we haven't seen her come out on Instagram or something and just like provide the rebuttal to all of this.
Yeah, or like sell a story to Radar Online or something.
And then George also sent this. He said, will you please try to explain the following tweet from Reality Steve concerning Jason's hometown date location? So I guess Reality Steve tweeted this. It says, a reminder about Jason's hometown date. Jason currently lives in Seattle. His parents now live in South Carolina. They the house they use in Buffalo is one they rented out. Weird. And so George asks, was this an attempt to get a hometown date close enough to Haley that she'd be able to attend part of it?
Yes.
I think this is a missed opportunity. I don't know. You know, maybe it's just like across the border, the word didn't get out and they just spread the word around Buffalo. But I feel like this is really upsetting that we didn't hear about this filming opportunity.
I know. If I ever found out somebody was like filming in Boston, I would find every connection I could. Yeah. To sneak on to that date or to like get on there. I need to like find some, you know, production people, but it would be so much fun.
It would.
I mean, it's actually probably not fun at all.
Yeah.
To watch two people slow dance in the middle of a private concert or something.
Right. That's the one that I did hear about. I did hear about one in Milwaukee, which I don't live very close to, but it's Midwest and it was Nick's season. And it was like, okay, some kind of country star, you have to get there at like noon and it's not going to be filming until 5, or, you know, you have to line up.
Really. You would literally be there all day. Mental all day. Was all day. We got there at 11 a.m. I think. And we left at 8 p.m.
Wow. Yeah. That's the part where it's like, okay. And it's on a weekday. Am I really going to take off work to try to like get in there?
So. And then when they ask where you were, you could say you're going to the Bachelor, but you probably have to lie and say you went to a concert. And then when you say, it was blank name, no one would know, and they'd think you were lying anyways.
Right. I've never heard of this. So true. And then we have some questions from Facebook. Will Holston asks, is it a red flag if, hypothetically speaking, a guy you're dating had major panic attacks after he broke up with his last girlfriend? So this is referring Blake, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it did sound like that was a very intense breakup. How would you react to this? Set off a red flag for you?
I mean, maybe, but I feel like if you have a really bad breakup, especially his, once he reminded me of what happened, like last breakup I had was miserable. So I kind of get it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I guess even though it was funny to me, like the parents being like, oh, I got to clean pieces. But that is a huge aspect of it is somebody's got to listen to sob audibly for a while. So it might be a lot. I guess if he had said it to me, it might be like, oh God, that might be intense. But I think we all know that Blake is more intense than the average guy.
Yeah. And I think it's a good sign that he was honest about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that he was working, you know, he got through it and everything and learned from it. So let's see. Will Holston has another one. Jason has a good job, a pretty face, an amazing gay brother who, according to my research, can get comped free tickets to Broadway shows. Ooh, interesting.
What?
Would Jason automatically be the next Bachelor if he had a better haircut?
Yes. I did. I'm not huge on the hair. That's my drawback on Jason. But I know others do find his hair appealing. So to each their own type.
Right. And well, I think, you know, the Bachelor, they go under the style makeover. I feel like they could get him in the right scenario to, you know, do something better with his hair, and that's something I would look forward to if he was that.
I don't know if I have faith in that though this year because Becca's wardrobe for me is a lot of misses.
I didn't like that black collar thing she had going on this episode.
This was like the best she looked, and that's because she just kind of dressed like a normal person. Like they didn't overstyle her.
Yeah, right. Look like normal clothes, rompers, and but the dress, like she's had a lot of sparkle.
A lot of sparkle. It's been like a little over the top for Becca. Yeah, though her hair does look great. So you know what? I could put faith in that they could fix Jason's hair.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's the drawback. I think that's why he went kind of lower on our draft. We like just from his photo, we're like, this is not a fan of the hair.
Yeah, he's really the sleeper of the season.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, his brother was awesome. And I think that's cool that I don't know if we've seen a gay family member on the show.
No, at top of mind, I can't think of one in my bachelor history mind.
And we've had the bisexual contestant.
Yes, Jamie.
Yeah. But I just loved how it was like, not like some big, you know, reveal or something. It was just like, yeah, this is my brother. And, you know, they didn't like over bachelor the story.
Like, no, I missed it. I missed it in the beginning too.
Yeah.
Because I was sort of half invested the first time I watched it. And I was like, oh, okay, whatever. And then I was like, oh, we missed this whole thing about that his brother was like relationship goals. I missed that. I was just kind of assumed it. And his brother was great and gave him the advice to, you know, be open and share his feelings.
Mm-hmm. Randy Knuppel asks, what other advice do you think Chris Harrison has about the fantasy suite?
Oh my God. What an awkward, that conversation really, that's a bachelor memory we won't forget of how awkward that was.
Yeah. I loved Chris's face, and which I don't often say. So just like his reaction that he's probably like, oh, this is a first after so many seasons of doing this show.
Maybe he like advised me like, take off your mics. Maybe eat, if there's actually food, like you can eat it. Mm. That's probably good advice because they're so used to not eating the food.
Yeah. He probably says, don't pull a Ben Higgins and say, I love you to two people.
And don't pull a Juan Pablo and just talk about yourself.
Right. Stephen Schultz, how many Who jokes are made about Betty Who? And do you believe that she really is Becca's favorite singer?
Well, we already made one.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah. That's an interesting stage name to pick if, you know, you have to be pretty confident, I suppose, if it's, you know, because that is like the leading joke that you would go with. But she must be at least one of her favorite singers if Blake knew this or requested this.
She knew, she was mouthing the lyrics when she was performing.
She knew. Yeah, she knew those songs.
She knew the words versus those other songs that we don't know. I don't even think she knew Richard Marx. And that's like. Been played on every, you know, weird TV show, 80s movie ever.
Yeah. Oh, we have a question from our own Haley Strong.
This is awesome. Yay!
Just kind of more of a comment. She says, before he inevitably gets sent home next week and before even watching last night's episode, I just want to say that Becca and Jason is my new OTP.
Truth.
Yes.
We've all converted tonight.
Yes. Tim Shields, are you as exhausted by the Colton Tia non-relationship as I am? If you were Colton's publicist, what would you advise for his next dating stunt after BIP? So he's Allie Reisman, you know, he's gone the Olympic route and then two different bachelorettes. Where could he go next, Mel?
I mean, Bachelor Winter Games, he's got to get an international Bachelor franchise girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
If we get Winter Games back or, you know, something along.
That reminds me, like Jason, his hockey skills. I mean, that was very attractive. And
oh, he might be a Winter Games catcher. He could be Winter Games. This doesn't work out.
Yeah, he could move that direction as well.
Granted, there was no true rhyme or reason to any rules of how Winter Games worked. And I think there are a few times where winners actually lost and losers were winners. So,
yeah,
who knows?
That did happen for sure. But it sounds like, Mel, that you're not totally giving up on Colton Tia yet. You still have hope for him.
No, I feel like I'll get burned out in about two episodes, sort of like Dean and Christina were and then that stuff. But. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting at least to see play out. And we know, you know, the standards, I guess the big question would be, do they last through Paradise and past Paradise is sort of where we're going. We know they're probably going to get back together in Paradise. Is this the one for Colton or is this a fleeting fling in Playa del Carmen? Where is it again? Playa Escondido.
Oh yeah. Good. Good call. I didn't know that.
No, I have not Googled vacations there, Amy.
I didn't look up a Jorge's. Oh man, they need to give away. That needs to be the next giveaway that you win. That would be amazing.
Oh my God, yeah. He does or did follow me on Twitter at one point.
Amazing.
Like early on, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
This is the biggest follow I've ever had. No offense to anybody else that might be verified or very popular, but right. Jorge.
Follow at Mel Got Served, and we'll see if we can improve that.
Yes.
That statistic. Justin Feinberg has a few questions. Who were those people eating chicken wings with Becca and Jason, and why were they eating chicken wings with Becca and Jason? Did producers spend too much money on the Baja Men and insert no name country music singer here that they couldn't buy that place out for a day?
I really don't understand the crowd thing. It's just so weird. Whoever is competing are either the two luckiest couples or randos that we've ever seen, or maybe sad. And I wonder if they actually got like a trophy.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, it just seemed like they wanted to pack the house. And then even, you know, at his high school and Blake's high school, he could have done the private concert thing. But no, it was like this huge like crowd of students or something. But it didn't look like an actual school day. It looked like they called in different teachers of his to come in on a Saturday or something. So
yeah, it was like empty hallways. Oh, yeah. You know who I did love, though, is that in the Buffalo date, there was like one like very like bro guy who's just like staring at the camera like, yeah. Wings.
So they were like legit wings fans, not
yeah, maybe they just cast fans. Like, do you like wings? Do you want to be on TV? Wings. And then eventually they're like, wait, why are we watching this guy with slick back hair and that girl who got dumped by Ari
right
eat wings?
And maybe they just thought it was like a Food Channel show.
Oh, maybe that, maybe it was all like a big ruse,
right? Just come and compete. Justin Feinberg, did Colton ask Chris Harrison for sex advice? Is that a thing I actually watched?
Oh, boy. I was thinking of when we were talking before, too, like on Game of Thrones, when Jon Snow's like, I know where to put it. It's like, oh, Colton, read a book, YouTube. Yeah. Don't ask Chris Harrison.
Right. Chris Harrison is like so far removed from, you know, he just hangs out at the hotel on these fantasy suite dates and.
Yeah, Chris has like nothing to do. He's got a pretty cake job. Paradise is actually the hardest he has to work, which is mind boggling. The one that's like the biggest vacation is the hardest working.
Right. Yeah. He has to show up a little more often. And then Justin Feinberg says, what is your reaction to the stunning breaking news from this morning's Big Brother 20 live feeds that Corinne Olympios is dating a friend of Caitlin's? Okay. I hadn't heard this breaking news. How about you?
What? No, I had not heard that.
Yeah. Wow, connections, cross show. Well, we've all heard the Polly and Danielle news. So here's, this is the new Big Brother Bachelor crossover, I guess.
I wonder if, like, is he a reality person or just a friend of Caitlin? Is it a psychic connection kind of thing?
Do you know where Caitlin's from? Is she from Florida?
Originally, she is from, I believe, like, upstate New York.
Okay. Interesting.
So maybe it's like an LA thing, though, because does Caitlin live in LA now?
Maybe.
I assume she does because she's like a spray tanner,
Corinne
right?
lives there now, too. She could.
I mean, they all do, right?
Right. At least part of the time.
I know I see DeMario hang out with the Vanderpump Rules people sometimes. So at the very least.
And Robbie, too, right? Is that who he hangs out? Is he dating someone from one of those shows?
He like had something with Sheena, but kind of everybody has something with Sheena. Okay. So who knows? I think he's just part of the. He just shows up.
Okay. Totally. He'll probably show up in Paradise too. Probably haven't ended those random people.
I think Jordan's taken over the role of Robbie.
He is like the movie version of Robbie, right?
like TV just version. That you're going to get the quotables you want out of like Jordan, who, as I showed in that one promo, is just full of one-liners.
Yeah.
Full of them. Versus Robbie, who's just bland.
Right. Yeah, Robbie just had his wardrobe talking for him. Just his bow ties or whatever he brought. I can't remember, swim trunks. That was his personality, as I recall. So, yeah, that's it for questions. And normally, Haley provides takes from Doug, but he didn't have any this week. But it is his birthday, so happy birthday to Doug. And I'm sure we'll get
happy birthday, Doug. Yes. I always enjoy Doug's takes on the show.
Yes, so I'm sure we'll get his thoughts about the Buffalo date as well next
what
week.
What if Doug doesn't like Jason now? What if Doug didn't convert to Jasonism like we did?
Oh. I don't know how I could handle that. I think everyone has to have converted to Jason fandom at this point.
Doug, can you tell us next week who you would like to be the next Bachelor? Like if any scenario, whether it be Garrett, Snooze, Blake, Cool Jason, or even somebody else. Yeah. Who would you like it to be, Doug?
Yeah, I'm curious. I can't think of anyone from earlier in the season that really stands out. There's no Juan Pablo.
No Juan Pops. I will say what I was surprised. I don't think he'll be Bachelor. This is not that. Mm-hmm. I was surprised that it doesn't sound like Leo's going to Paradise, and I thought he would be. But I don't know for a fact. But they announced, you know, that episode that Wills was going.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I guess Wills don't think would Leo. Be, Wills for Bachelor would be good. Unless they're not announcing the ones who are like the latecomers that, you know.
Yeah.
Like rock the boat because
the surprise attacks.
Yeah, somebody that like, oh, I was waiting, I was hoping they'd be here, and now they showed up, and yeah, that's always. Yeah,
and
exciting.
I'm trying not to look that stuff up either. I kind of want to be. I'll take like what's shown to me, but I'm not, right. You know, actively trying to figure out who's out there because if not, sort of like how this season, there's part of me that would just love to know who Becca picks so I can just
move on,
be over with it. Right. Then, like, then what else do I have going for me with the show?
Exactly. I feel like this season has kind of flown by. I don't know if it's just this particular summer or what, but I feel like even though some of the episodes are a little slow, it's already, you know, we're in the top three now. So I feel like that's gone kind of fast.
It's gone quicker than I thought. And then now we have to go. So we'll have Fantasy Suites and then we'll have Mental All. Or is it Mental? Yeah, Mental All.
Mental All.
After Fantasy. Yeah.
Now, do you think
so? That means gonna... I have to sludge through that.
We haven't seen them in her hometown at all. Do you think that's not going to happen then? Because usually the family meeting her family is when like now they're like in the exotic location. When
they meet the family. Yeah, they I think hometowns are done now. I feel like they just want to save some airfare and some budget, some budget cuts.
Because what we've seen in past seasons where they'll go to the lead's hometown at some point. Earlier, like kind of the group.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
but they didn't do that, and it might just be because it's Minneapolis and it was really freezing cold. They're like, this is not.
And happening. They promised Virginia.
True. They're like, well, Virginia's going to give us this big budget, and
we're going to get paid,
right? And we didn't. You know what? We didn't get any conversations about. Usually, we hear like, oh, where would you move to? And we didn't hear any of that. And maybe it's because none of these guys live in that hometown anymore.
Yeah, that's a good point, because usually they talk about something. But I mean, that's something interesting that hasn't been come up at all is, you know, like, well, where do we go after this? Like, are they going to Minnesota?
Right.
Are they going to these miscellaneous cities where they live?
Yeah. Usually it's a big conflict or, you know, some kind of serious discussion. We haven't heard that. So maybe it's not relevant. Like, I think Becca might, you know, her job she could do different places. She's PR and, you know. They might not have to keep their jobs if they have enough of a following. Yeah,
they're just going to be influencers for a while. But eventually they all go back to her. I mean, because Rachel started doing her lawyering again, it seems like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is good. That's like a good job to hang on to. And I feel like Becca would do that as well with her public relations. So I was just being from, you know, living in Minneapolis, as I do. I thought, like, I was excited to see what they might do here. But, you know, I guess we saw her hometown date with Ari and they went to an apple orchard. That's good enough, I guess.
I suppose. Yes. You were just hoping to just maybe one bizarre private concert date that you could get.
Yeah, something.
At least a buffalo wing eating competition. What else can we get?
Yeah. And I don't know. I feel like, okay, you go to the guy's hometowns. Shouldn't we reciprocate and see, you know, where she's from? This is the lead after all. And you want to kind of get to know. But hey, not important.
What would you do if you had hometown date? You're bringing them back to your hometown. Mm-hmm. What do you do on your hometown date to like show off? What do you do?
Yeah, I mean, I just think like here, the Mall of America is kind of a big one.
Oh yeah, I've never been.
So that's kind of, I just feel like that's camera ready, and it's something that a claim to fame. So even though it's not like somewhere I hang out, it's just like something that we can say like, hey, Minneapolis has this, you know.
How about you exactly
for Boston?
So I'm torn. So I could take him into Boston, but I'm not from Boston.
Yeah.
Now, where I live now is home of the original Dunkin' Donuts and also the Dunkin' Donuts of the future. So maybe also we could get paid. What's
Dunkin' Donuts of the future?
It's basically that they have coffee on tap and it's a little more open layout.
Oh, wow.
It's exciting. A little fancier. And if not, the city I grew up in is Shoe City, so there's a very bizarre teeny little like shoe museum somewhere.
Well, that's cute.
And it's also where Rocky Marciano is from, so I guess I could show him the statue. But overall, right. I feel like Dunkin' Donuts is way more exciting because we could have that's like really donuts and like laugh about it.
Yeah, you could do the donut fries. That's what I've heard about with Dunkin' Donuts. That apparently,
oh yeah, my mom tried the donut fries. I still have not tried those.
No, I haven't either. But we just got Dunkin' Donuts here in Minnesota, like really recently. So that was exciting for me. And they're like, oh, we're rolling out these donut fries nationwide soon. So I'm excited to try those.
We'll try them in honor of Snack Chat for Haley. This will be our, for her, we'll try to do it. I'll try to remember to do it tomorrow because you and I could use a treat.
Yeah, we've got to have something on Tim Hortons, right? So we got to show off what we have on the States. We don't have They have Timbits. We have Munchkins.
Yeah, Munchkins.
Yes. All right. Well, Mel, this was a ton of fun to have you fill in. You know, it's always tough when, you know, Haley or I cannot be here. But it's super fun to have a guest fill in that's equally excited about The Bachelor or Bachelorette. Where can people find you?
So you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at MelGotServed, and you can read my Bachelorette and Bachelor and probably Bachelor in Paradise recaps at MelGotServed.com. And I also do a little Survivor recapping when that's on.
Nice. And what always amazes me is that you get them out like instantly, like the Bachelor tweets.
That's what
tweets
I
right
care
up.
About. Yeah. I like the nice thing about Bachelor is you can write it live and it's not too much. Survivor, I slack a little, I will be okay. honest. But for Bachelorette, I like to get it done right
away.
So,
like, on the commercial breaks, you're like, just like going at it. Like, you're just getting it out there, your thoughts.
So commercial breaks is when I'll do the images.
Oh, really?
And I usually like live blog while I'm tweeting. It's a real marathon. So if someone's texting me too, it's like,
I can't do it.
It's excessive. It's overload.
Right. That was really impressive. I feel like I would just.
Why, thank you.
Yeah. I can barely get my notes for the podcast. I'm like, wait, I want to tweet something, but I have to put a note in or I'll forget that this happened. So to get an actual recap out there, that's really good. And then you don't have to wait till the next morning. Like, you have to wait for a podcast to come out and it takes a little while. So read the recaps and then tune into our podcast. And you can find me at RHAP Recapper. And we'll be back next week with Haley and getting her takes on Buffalo and if she thinks that it was a fair representation of her American city, her American hometown. But yeah, thanks again, Mel, for joining me. And yeah,
thank you. I really appreciate you being able to come on.
Yeah, thank you. All right, everybody, we'll catch you next time. Bye.